is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
A republic, if we can teach it, fixing America's civic education crisis. I'm very pleased to welcome my colleague David Davenport of the Hoover Institution, writing with his colleague Jeffrey Sikinga, a book about civics that doesn't much show up here in the 21st century. We've been through months and months and months of upset, turmoil, disorder on campuses, especially elite campuses. Where did that come from? What are those students and their graduate friends talking about? Why do they make statements about America that have no basis in fact? David, a very good evening to you. Congratulations to you and Jeffrey. We begin with quotes from the 18th century, our founders. Thomas Jefferson, in your book, said that good education, civics, is the result of habit and long training. And Tom Paine, troublemaker, said that civics contributes to the right of voting, to know how to vote. Now, who could vote and how could vote, how they could vote, has changed dramatically since the 18th century. But what has not changed is the need for civics. So let's start with a definition. What is it, David, in the schools? How is civics understood as integral to the success of the United States? Good evening to you.
John, always good to be with you. Civics, of course, is really an understanding of how and why our government was formed the way it was formed and why it works the way it works. And so just as we understand we have to prepare students for jobs and we give them all kinds of scientific and mathematic and technical training, we also have to prepare them to be citizens, and a few of them even to run the country. And so to give them a background in history, it includes history, it includes government, it includes leadership studies, it includes looking at biographies of America's great leaders. So we're trying to get at the what and the how and the why of how America works.
The statistics of various measures of our students these days, since 2020, show overwhelming lack of information. They just do not know simple, straightforward matters of dates and people, times, and philosophies. Overwhelming, especially among the youngest. Compared to the over 65 crowd, that would be my lot, David. Only 19%. Yes, David, I include you, younger people. Only 19% of the over 65 are ignorant of these matters, but an overwhelming amount of young people are ignorant. Is it because it hasn't been taught? Is it because it's been taught ineffectively? Is it because of something like the internet? What is there one thing to explain it, David?
Well, let me say, I'll put a couple of statistics on the table. The latest NAEP, or Nation's Report Card tests, which test eighth graders on civics and history, showed that only 24% were even proficient or better in civics and government, and a shocking 14% proficient in U.S. history. So the lack of knowledge and understanding that you described is absolutely verified by the figures. We argue in our book, and I think this is a little gentler argument than some would make, we argue that other priorities have really crowded the teaching of civics out of the classroom. And we've moved over the years toward much greater emphasis on math and reading skills, obviously vitally important. Today, we're making huge investments in STEM education, science, technology, engineering, and math. Hard to argue against that. The problem is that when we add these new areas of emphasis, we don't lengthen the school day or the school year. So they come at the expense of teaching something else. And the data shows that those something else that have been pushed out of the curriculum are humanities and social sciences, and especially civics. And so we're to the point now where there's very little civics taught at all in elementary or middle school. And then in high school, we're reduced generally to a one semester course, which is kind of too little too late. And so that's our view, that we've basically pushed civics out of the classroom, and students are suffering as a result. And our country is suffering as well.
Rhode Island is a case in point of an extreme version of no civics. Rhode Island was sued, I believe, by students who said, you deprived us of knowledge when you didn't teach us about our own country, history, and yes. how the government works. And Rhode Island argued that the children had no right to education. He said that with a straight face.
Yes, that's one of the sad chapters about civics in the country, is you're exactly right. It was the high school students themselves who sued education officials in Rhode Island, saying, we don't know how to be citizens. We don't know about how to vote. We don't know about serving on juries because you don't teach civics. And they made it to a federal court, and the federal judge was very sympathetic. He said, the students have identified a serious problem. Unfortunately, I can't give them a constitutional remedy because there is no constitutional right to a civics education. But he said they certainly need one, and I think it's incumbent upon Rhode Island to provide it. Well, the good news is that though the students lost that particular battle, they made a great progress in the war, which is finally the legislature in Rhode Island, after all of these lawsuits were over, began requiring and teaching civics. So a great story, I think, of the students realizing what the adults apparently did not, and that is that civics is essential.
The last 40 years, we've had big programs from Washington, from our legislature, about education in America. My notes say 1983, Nation at Risk, and then No Child Left Behind somewhere in 2002. And Race to the Top, I believe that's 2015. And David's already mentioned STEM. The STEM pursuit today still dominates the school. And then something called the Common Core. Did any of these different versions of how to educate American children from the federal government, did any of them address the emergency in civics?
No, in fact, they are part of the problem. The emphasis in all of those areas, which has led to this testing regime that seems to dominate our schools, preparing for tests, taking tests, these were kind of educational emergencies that the federal government thought we were experiencing. Our test scores were not comparing favorably to those of students in other industrialized nations. So we had to do more in terms of teaching reading and math skills. We concluded that we needed more science and technology education. And so we spend a great deal of money on STEM, almost nothing on civics. So these were all other priorities that the federal government thought needed to be added in an urgent way to our educational process. But again, there was no addition to time in the classroom to teach them. And so that time was taken away from civics and other humanities and social sciences.
And you've already mentioned how STEM dominates. I was struck by the fact that only 5% of the high school curriculum, I believe, it might include middle school, is devoted to civics, 5%.
Now, yes, the federal government spends, you know, $50-some per student per year on STEM and 5 cents on civics. And I mean, that just puts it all in perspective, it seems to me. It's just not a priority and hasn't been for probably 25, 30 plus years.
I want to make a detail here. When I say civics, I also include history. I think yes. of them together, because without history, you don't have the illustrations of the philosophy that you're supporting. And you can wander into troublesome areas, such as thinking socialism is viable or communism is not all that bad. The history matters a deal. We're going to turn now to how bad it's gotten. Here in the 21st century, it didn't begin well in the 20th, and now the book is A Republic If We Can Teach It, Fixing America's Civic Education Crisis, Jeffrey Sikinga and David Davenport. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.